Episode 12. Associate Pastor Bianca Luna interviews Urban Grace congregant Christina Mensa.
Hello and welcome back to the Last Stop podcast. Today we are interviewing with Christina, and she is going to talk a bit about cultural awareness. So thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it. So let's just dig right into the first question I always ask our interviewees is, if you can tell us a bit about yourself, give us a glimpse into who you are and what values you hold near and dear to you.
Well, first of all, thank you for asking me. My name is Christina Mensa. My pronouns are she, her, and I consider myself, like, my main roles are wife and mother. I'm a business owner. I am somebody who takes a lot of time caring for others. I'm a birth worker. I'm an Enneagram 7, ENFP, and things that are important to me are connection, community, and curiosity. Three C's, nice. I guess. I'll go with those.
I like it. That's really fun. Yeah, that's great. That's to add your Myers-Briggs and your Enneagram. That's like, oh, you just said a lot about yourself and those two things. That's great. Yeah. How long have you been at Urban Grace and what brought you here?
So I feel like this might be a long-winded answer.
Go for it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have been coming here since like August of 2016. We had just moved here from Brooklyn, New York, and we lived right up the street between 9th and 10th on M.
Oh, okay.
And I think Urban Grace was the first church that we saw when we were driving around. So we decided to just like do the easiest thing and walk down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we came and we really didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And it was very much out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Can I just go into like my history of like,
yeah, of course.
So, I grew up in the church, literally was born and went to church as like the next week.
Yeah.
And it was, I lived in a very small town in Oregon and, you know, looking back, it's very conservative, evangelical, mm-hmm. Christian. Everybody is like, I would say very vanilla experience. Mm-hmm. And when I was 17, I went to college in Indiana at a Christian college,
also very vanilla.
but that was my first experience with having people who were different from me. Just like the Midwest is a different. Even white people in the Midwest say things differently. So that was like a cultural experience. But then also there were people at my school who were of different nationalities and races. And that's kind of when I got my first taste of like a non-white church. I went to this church that was very Pentecostal in the sense that the person who was in charge of the church was called Apostle.
Oh, yeah.
And those church services would, you know, like I think on, you know, like if you looked it up, it was like from 9 to 12, and mm-hmm. You get there at 9 and it had already started. And mm-hmm. sometimes the music, the worship would last for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the sermon or the talking would we would be there until 3, you know, like we would miss our dinner or our lunch back at campus. So that was a really important time in my life. Mm-hmm. And then, so it was still a pretty evangelical experience. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I went to seminary in Boston and at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary.
Yeah.
And there are two campuses to choose from. And there was the one that was like closer to New Hampshire, and then the one that I went to, which was called CUME, which is the Center for Ministerial Education. And it was kind of like the campus was all throughout the city. And so we'd have classes at different churches around the area. And instead of like the seminary, which was like pretty much all white mm-hmm. and very like vanilla, mm-hmm. I guess you would say. There were classmates of mine who were like in their 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. and they were pastors doing the work in the community, mm-hmm. and they were from, you know, there was the Chinese Christian church that we would go to, and the African church, and then the African American church. There was like a different experience, wow, and all cool. the classes were very, you know, they were very mixed as far as that experience. And the churches that I went to there were also, it was a variety of different churches. And I actually started with some friends a church that was kind of based out of the idea of racial reconciliation and multi, you know, we were trying to make like an as open as you can be. Mm-hmm. In an evangelical situation, oh, yeah. you know, and it was a small, it was like 3 years in the making before I moved to New York. So, and then when after I moved to New York, I started going to mega churches, and I won't mention any of them, but, you know, they're just like a big, thousands of people yeah. from all different walks of, you know, countries and experiences around the country. And the worship experience was very different. Mm-hmm. And but it usually had, because there were so many services, like it started and ended on like the mm-hmm. actual time, start and end time. Oh. And then we walk into this church. Yeah. and Darius and I met in New York. So when we came here, we were like, okay, this is very different
yeah.
from, I didn't even realize that it wasn't an evangelical church when we walked in. So we weren't looking, we were just like walking down the street.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we liked when we first got here was this, like, you know, that was in 2016. So that was right mm-hmm. before the presidential election. And there was so yeah. much like tension mm-hmm. and we were kind of, you know, we had left church services when beforehand when they would start praying in it, like about politics and political things, especially leaning towards one way or one certain way. And so when we walked in and the first thing that we hear is like, everybody is welcome here. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of looked around and we saw like there were definitely some homeless people sitting mm-hmm. in the back. And you know, Urban Grace isn't super, it was a very small congregation at the mm-hmm. time, like definitely less than 100 people. Mm-hmm. But you could just tell that people were as diverse as they could be here.
Yeah.
So, and it was uncomfortable for me at first because it was so, like the passing of the peace, I hated that part.
Oh.
Even though I am an extrovert, I yeah. just like, it felt uncomfortable to like this like repeat after me kind of yeah. situation yeah. because it was so opposite of what I had basically yeah. known my entire life. So it took a while for me to get used to this place. But like I said, we never went anywhere else. We came here and we kept on coming yeah. back. So there was something about Urban Grace that called to us and, I had to work through what was uncomfortable for me, which mm-hmm. was nothing to do with Urban Grace. It was just like,
was out of your norm,
out yeah. of my norm. And I had to kind of like, sit down and reflect on why yeah. it was uncomfortable. And we've been here for about 7 years, I
wow.
guess.
That's cool that you were willing to wrestle with that. Because a lot of times I feel like people are like, oh, this is not familiar, so it's wrong. Or I don't like it, it's uncomfortable. So they just like move on to the next. So, but that's cool that you were reflective and you were willing to be like, okay, why am I uncomfortable with this? And,
yeah.
you know, make peace with it. So that's awesome. The next question I have for you is our discussion today, we're going to be digging in kind of the rest of the time, is in intercultural personhood. And when I looked up trying to find a simple definition of it on Google, I got intercultural personhood projects a way of reflecting to oneself and to fellow human beings with greater objectivity, realism, and even-handedness. So what does intercultural personhood mean for you, and how does that play out in your life personally?
So I guess for me, it means approaching something with curiosity and openness when it comes to being in a situation or interacting with people, and also taking some time to have like introspection and kind of like, you know, think about how it is that I'm interacting with others. So like I said before, I grew up in a small town and at an early age, despite like having no interaction with anybody who is different from me, aside from like socioeconomic status, I was interested in other cultures. And my very first book report I did in like third grade, I remember this was, I think it was on Martin Luther King. And shortly after that, I did like a really deep dive into the Trail of Tears. I was kind of obsessed with that for a while. And I don't, you know, it wasn't something that they were necessarily teaching at school, but it was just something that I was curious about and that I wanted to know more about. And then when I was thinking about the question, I remembered when I was like 15 or 16, I read Malcolm X for the first time. And then after reading it, I watched the movie on a Saturday and I went to church on Sunday and we had like Sunday school, whatever, before the actual church service. So we were in our youth group and I was like, I need somebody to tell me why all of the pictures that we have of Jesus around this church are of white men and, you know, a white facing man. And everybody was like, what is happening? And I kept on like pushing the issue. And the youth group leader got up and went and got the pastor of the church and he came in and I was like, you know, hard hitting these questions and nobody ever gave me an answer. And I just remember being really, really upset and frustrated and felt kind of like I had been robbed and that of like a different vision of what Jesus actually looks like. And so, like I said before, it wasn't until college when I actually got to interact with people who were different from me. I joined my sophomore year something called the House of Higher Learning. And it was a group on campus. And the goal of that group was to have conversations about race and reconciliation. And so it was primarily people of color, and then and then there were some white people in the group. And so every week we would have a conversation about race.
That's awesome.
And with the goal of reconciliation. And then when I was in college, we also went to this national conference called NCMSLC, which is National Multicultural Student Leadership Conference. And it was all of these Christian colleges from around the country, mostly Midwest, East Coast. And we would have, it was like a 4-day kind of retreat at a specific college that, you know, changed every year. And I remember just, there were different sessions and hearing from other people's perspectives. And then also having conversations that were really uncomfortable. And so that it really made a huge impression in my life and how I thought about myself and how I was interacting with people and how other people might feel also in a situation. And then I said, again, I went to CUME and just having the interactions with older people and people who, you know, just like East Coast is very different from West Coast, and just the cultural differences in how you talk and interact with each other, but then also the race, you know, on top of that, and then be able to take classes about Black liberation in the church and sitting, like having the stance of like sitting back and listening and taking it in and learning instead of, and having the openness to listen and have that curiosity really played a role in how I perceived myself and the other people around me. And when I moved to New York, I went to a Spanish speaking church for a while, and even some Portuguese churches, and they had, you know, they had like this very low tech. Usually, it was a friend of mine who had was talking through the earpiece. They'd give us headphones,
oh, to translate.
And there was somebody who was translating at the time.
Wow.
But even that worship experience was different than what I obviously had grown up with. And that all of that happened before I met Darius. And my Darius is my Darius. Well, he is my Darius, but my husband Darius, he is not white, and we have two daughters who are mixed race. And so, all of the things that I've learned since, you know, I was young until now, and even now I'm learning, have come to help me understand and see the world through a different lens than if I wouldn't have had any of those experiences. All that to say is that I have been doing this work for a long time, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've, you know, but it has been a lifelong learning experience, and I wouldn't be the person I am now if I hadn't had those experiences. And I chose to be open and curious, and it has enriched my life immensely. And I guess in some ways I still chose to be open and curious when we started coming to Urban Grace, because it was a different experience. But it has been much harder since living in the Pacific Northwest.
Wow. That's really cool. Especially the fact that you weren't exposed to that stuff naturally. Like, I want to write a paper on MLK. I want to learn more about the Trail of Tears and Malcolm X, even though that wasn't just your natural upbringing. That's amazing that, like, you know, that was just a core of your personhood, of having that curiosity and mystery. That's pretty incredible. And the fact that you went to, like, Spanish-speaking languages and you wanted a translation, like, I feel like that's kind of unheard of, sadly, but really cool that that was something that was, like, passionate about you, like, to want to step out of your comfort zone and want to explore. That's amazing. So let's chat a little bit more about cultural awareness. The last podcast, Liliana shares some perks about being more culturally aware person and how it can improve one's communication skills, give someone a deeper understanding to empathy and open-mindedness, adaptability, and problem solving. Could you share with us some perks, some other perks someone may discover from it?
Sure. I feel like that's a really good list. I would say it's it helps you widen your worldview. And instead of when, like, you know, things might arise that you might see on the news, instead of just thinking about the way that you would see it, it allows you to think, okay, if I weren't living here and that, you know, with these things around me, how might I see this? And you can see yourself in other people's shoes, and approach a situation maybe differently than you would otherwise. You have the ability to adapt to situations without fear. So maybe you might be able to go to another country, and even though you might not know exactly what's going on, you can feel, without fear, I would say, like, maybe feel a little bit more comfortable because you feel like you can interact with somebody, regardless of if you're speaking the same language as them. And you have, you might discover with approaching things with curiosity, what fun and exciting things might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the ability to start a conversation without hesitation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the extrovert part of me, mm-hmm. or if that's just something that comes from having a lot of experience with mm-hmm. a lot of different people, is I can be somewhere and I can start a conversation with yeah. anybody. The other person might not appreciate it, but
yeah,
but I'm not afraid to. And I think, part of that comes from just having the experience of being around so many different people and having so many different conversations.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I think people do like when you're interested in their life, especially if you're interested in something they're passionate about. But I notice with some personality types, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, I wish I knew in advance so I can think about the answers.
Oh, yeah. That would definitely be my husband.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I feel like any time, whether someone's super shy or super introverted, if you're paying attention to them in a positive way and you're authentically care and curious about them and the things mm-hmm. they care about, I'm assuming people are very touched and like appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but yeah. So that's cool that I'm sure there has been many people who you have come into conversation with who feel loved and seen by you because you have that natural curiosity. So that's awesome. So the next question I have is on, again, we're continuing this cultural awareness. So we kind of talked about intercultural personhood, and kind of a subtext of that is cultural awareness. The second kind of cultural awareness subtext would be cross-cultural competence. And this kind of goes past acknowledging and honoring those differences, but taking that acknowledgement and engaging with them effectively. So some ways we discovered in our last episode to gain cross-cultural competence and understanding the culture within yourself is managing your own attitude towards those cultures, coping with the cultural surprises, reflecting and seeking feedback, to name a few. But based on your personal experience, what else would you add to that?
So this was a hard one for me to think of, like, how I would add to that. But I would just say, like, some examples of this in my own life is I am a white female. I have two daughters, and my husband is black. Mm-hmm. And I would go grocery shopping, and I would take them when they were younger. I mean, go through the grocery store, and they'd be hungry, and I would grab a box of whatever, like, let's say Goldfish, mm-hmm. in the cart that I had not paid for. I would open it up in the store, and I would let them eat out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I would always pay for it.
Yeah.
But because of my own experience, would do that. Now, when my husband would be with me and I would do that, he would be like, what are you doing?
Hmm.
People are going to think that we're stealing this. And I'm like, no, that's not, it's fine. You know? Hmm. And, I had to really think about how I'm interacting in those situations when it comes to my daughters and to my husband, because they don't have the same benefit that I have of being a white woman interacting with the world. And so I guess, like, part of, you know, I'm thinking of, like, my own culture and how I'm managing just in my own family attitudes towards different cultures. You know, I have to have my children and my husband in mind when I am interacting with the world.
Mm.
And so that's something that I'm aware of on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of hard to reflect on our own lives and ways of doing things that we've, you know, a lot of times are just seated in privilege and like, you know, white supremacist ideology or whatever. or discrimination. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says something to us that feels uncomfortable mm-hmm. because of something we might be doing out of just like, well, I've done this my whole life. Mm-hmm. Instead of acting out of fear or anger or it's important to take time and really sit with the information that we're being given mm-hmm. and how we've received it from other people and think like, am I taking the other person's identity and culture into mine when I'm acting this way?
Yeah.
And it's okay to make mistakes as long as you're growing
yeah.
and you're learning. And I'm constantly growing and learning and making mm-hmm. mistakes. And so there's always room to approach things different. Mm-hmm. And it's just really important to be open to that and to, be aware.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. To not be afraid to learn and grow too. Takes a level of cultural and understand maturity for sure.
And then one more thing I wanted to say is, my way is, not always the right way, and I don't have to have the loudest voice in the room or even the last say. Mm-hmm. And it's important for me or to step back and let other people in the room who might be in the minority mm-hmm. to have a voice and a say and maybe even the last word. That's okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Kind of just the last question I have for you. Is there anything else we haven't chatted about when it comes to intercultural awareness or cultural awareness or cross-cultural competence or anything else you would like to add? You want to share some thoughts on?
I would just say that like, this is my personal journey, my lifelong journey. And I know that it's not something that I've arrived to. It's something that I will always be working on and, mm-hmm. I'll never be perfect, but I know that it's really important to approach this subject and just life in general with openness and curiosity mm-hmm. and from a listening, learning posture. So mm-hmm. kind of like, it's okay to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing so much wisdom with us this episode. I appreciate you as a person and being our interviewee today. So thanks for being with us, Christina. And folks that are listening, this has been really fun getting to interview a bunch of different people talking about these really important subjects. Like today was intercultural awareness. So thank you, listeners, for the Last Stop podcast. And you'll hear from us another time. So stay tuned for that. Have a great day.